Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. And birthday hangover. Not like the real kind of hangover, but just like, hey, happy birthday. Woo, okay.
Now everybody's like, hi, Dave.
Yeah, now it's back to normal.
We'll talk to you when you're 70.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. No cake today. Although it's still in the fridge.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Someone cut it up for us.
Yeah.
We got the email about it, too.
Email.
Yeah. I love getting the, hey, the birthday cake has been cut up email.
Yeah. I didn't anticipate getting an email about my birthday cake.
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Well, it's nice of somebody to take charge.
On Friday, pardon me, went to the game with Nick and went up to the booth, and Ricky was his usual awesome self. And then Ethan, who we all know, works with us here, took me into the Bally's booth, where I'd never been. And I'd met Jim before. I'd never met Chip. Chip could be nicer than Ricky. He is like he was super, super cool.
Yep.
In a way that you could tell, like, he was just, I mean, Chip has a very big personality. And when he was finished broadcasting and he was just talking to me and Nick, he was exactly the same. And you just felt like, oh, this is just how he is all the time. I mean, I don't know the man, but he made me feel good, so that was nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
for years before he took the job, he would come on every place in town. They would ask him whenever if he was working with the Braves or whatever.
That's nice.
Yeah, or when he's doing Cub stuff. I mean, he was always accommodating and friendly and fun, and you know, great guest. He's always been that way. Good dude.
Very different vibe. Have you guys been into the broadcast booth, the television booth?
Yeah.
One time.
It's much smaller.
It's smaller. They have like vibe mood lights going.
Oh.
And it almost like a Halloween party kind of theme. Yeah. Like it's, what am I trying to say? The lights that you project on the ceiling and they move around and stuff. Like a dance club. And coming from KMOX, right next door to that, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, hey. The
which
KMOX booth.
Which is big
booth,
and bright and...
Yes.
Yeah, our booth there has 6 acres of land.
Yes.
It is big. Huge.
Because Mike,
so people would entertain.
Well, yeah, but when they were building it, Mike Shannon went in, and I think he had some ideas of exactly how it should
that's
be
what I've heard.
Laid out.
Yeah,
that's
like,
what
he
I've
was
heard.
Like, I think, well, the blueprints say this, Mr. Shannon. I know, but I think it should look like this.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the boss man, you get to do that.
The biggest broadcast booth in the MLB.
Yep.
Is it really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It is huge.
Yeah, everybody else that comes into town, they're like, wow.
Yeah, it really is big.
Yeah.
I almost, I know that it's not like on a national broadcast. The guys get excited, but you don't expect an audience in the broadcast booth. And I was talking to Claibs and we made a play. And at one point I started to yell and I had to really stifle myself.
Mm.
Like it would have gone out over the air.
Nope.
So it felt kind of bad.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's okay. They're used to it.
I think they...
No cheering. Well, you can cheer in the whole press
site.
Box.
Yeah. You're arrested or something. They get you.
Yeah.
You can't break the rules.
You don't want to go to jail over something like that.
No.
Be Amy's
cheering in the press box?
You guys both have that fear, right?
You'd have to think of another crime.
Yeah.
You couldn't just go in there saying that.
What happened to you? Cheering in the press box. How many days you get? 30?
That is pretty annoying when people do that.
It's super annoying.
Ugh.
Well, most people know not to.
No, the professionals know.
Yeah.
There are a few in there that are borderline that need to learn. Like, yeah, there's no...
Like
there's, I mean, like people with credentials.
During the
like
Stanley
covering
Cup
covering
final.
The game. Yeah.
During the Stanley Cup final, there was a play-by-play guy for NESN, which I guess is New England Sports Network.
Yep.
And he was cheering in the press box. And it was so irritating, and everybody looked at him like, get a grip, you're a professional, you're the play-by-play guy. And of course,
and it's allowed in the booth.
No, but let me rephrase this.
Out in the press box.
Yes, and he was in the press box because he's not doing play-by-play.
Right.
It was
the national
broadcasters.
Yeah.
So it would be like the equivalent of our John Kelly.
We'll go hang out with the radio team.
In the press booth, yelling.
Yep.
Hmm.
I am nothing. I looked at him like, sir.
Oh, like, you did? Did you say,
together.
How dare you?
How dare you? I did. He was really, everybody was looking at. We were with Barry, Melrose, and Steve. Levy. Anyway, we were with him, and they were all looking at this guy like, what an idiot.
Yeah.
I will never forget that guy, and I will never forget
reactions
the
are okay.
No, he was
no,
cheering.
Reactions are okay. If something crazy happens and everybody goes, oh, like that's normal, but you're not allowed to be like clapping, cheering, saying yes, or none of that stuff.
Interesting.
But that's for that's for credentialed people that are there assigned to cover the game. It's not a fan walking through or whatever.
Yeah. I've realized just today I have a new terrible habit. And I have to apologize to Rage because she and Nick get the worst of it. I don't know if you guys are like this at all. I am complaining so much.
Oh, yeah. Amy does.
What? Do you?
Yeah.
Don't complain.
Does she?
Oh, my gosh. This guy. You believe in him?
Dave.
He hasn't lied to me yet.
Dave, it is.
Oh, my God. You are such a boob.
Just all the time?
You are the biggest complainer in the history of the
world. Do you know how
many
times
she
I have to hear?
You.
I got to hear about St. Louis traffic from this,
this
one.
This guy complains about Starbucks, and he complains about sports, and he complains about bridges. I don't know. He complains about
bridges.
Everything.
Bridges.
Yeah, he doesn't like going over too many bridges.
Yeah, too. I don't do too many bridges.
That's right.
That's
right.
Not
one
a complaint,
bridge,
though.
One bridge limit
that,
for Ranji.
That is not a complaint. That's just a statement of fact.
He
I am not
in.
Crossing two bridges today.
He walks in with his Starbucks and his little briefcase purse bag thing, and he walks in and he's like, you know what? You know what gets me? Like, that's how he starts the day.
I've told them about my Starbucks order ahead complaint.
The bridge thing, is it a fear thing?
No, it's just... No, it's I'm not afraid. It's just that's what I tell people when they want me to go out to St. Charles. I'll say, like, I'm not crossing two bridges today.
Yeah, but it's only one bridge to go there.
Yeah, but they don't know that. I tell them I'm coming from...
They live there.
I tell
they
them I'm coming...
Know.
No, I'm telling...
They
I tell
know you're
them,
blowing them off,
I'm
Ranch.
Coming from Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go 270, it's three bridges.
It is.
Because you cross the,
yep, you
the
cross
lock
the
and
chain
dam
of rocks.
Bridge.
Yep. Yep.
See, mine, I don't... I really don't complain about things outside of me. It's always inside of me.
Mm.
Like last week, and today's the last day, fingers crossed, where I'm having my house painted the inside. And they get there at 7:30, and I'm here by 8, which is just way too early, but I have nowhere else to go. And I'm just tired, and my life's in disarray. And that's okay. Everyone goes through things, but I can't not say it out loud. Like, especially to Rach. I bet I said it 8 times today. I'm just like, well, I've never been this time. You know what I mean? Just like it. And I do it partially because it's become a habit, but partially because I have this magical thinking that it will take some of it away. Like, I'm going to burden you, and then I will feel better by saying how tired or anxious, whatever it is, and I need to work on that.
It's classic venting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it helps at all, it is no big deal. Like, I'm a little surprised you're saying this, because it's not like I was like, oh my gosh, Dave won't shut up. Like, no. Like,
well, had I said it every time I thought about saying, you wouldn't feel that way, because I held myself back a lot.
So what percentage is Rach actually getting?
She gets about 99 of it at work.
At work, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you wish?
No, I don't burden her at home. I don't.
No. I just mean like of the thing. Like you just said you were regulating how many times.
Hey,
so
Rach,
is it like
going?
Are you giving like one of every three of those thoughts out to the world, or is it more like 80%?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I have a lot of thoughts, so probably only 10%.
Okay.
But even that's probably 3 or 4 times a day.
Okay.
Well, it hasn't been enough for me to like clock that you're complaining a lot, so don't
That's
feel
good.
Bad about that.
Okay.
Do you just wish they would show up later? Is that it?
No, I boo. It's a good question. No, because today's the last day and tomorrow it'll be something else.
Okay.
I think I'm way too in tune with how I feel.
Mm.
I think I'm way too hypervigilant about what's going on in my life. It's where I don't know if you guys relate to this, but when I was younger, say my 20s, I just lived life. I remember it. I remember what it felt like. And I was just like, oh, I have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. I'm working at the donut shop. I'm waiting tables here. I just lived my life. And now it's as if I'm at a 30,000 foot view watching this guy live his life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Almost
yeah.
like the Truman Show, where I'm just,
yeah.
I'm so very aware of every single brick in the wall. Whereas before, I would just wake up, kind of like Wheeler. I'd go do it. I'd do it all day. I'd go to bed. I'd sleep. I'd wake up. I'd do it again. But I didn't think about it.
That's what Razor's Edge is about today, Dave.
Oh, sneak
because
preview.
Neuroscience says to be happier, you need to stop thinking about happiness.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Or just stop thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would
I think
really
the hard part is always the how, though, right? Everybody knows what to do. Like, everybody knows how to lose weight, for example. That's not the hard part. The hard part is the doing it.
Yes.
And how do you get yourself in the right habits, and how do you change your mindset?
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
the hard part.
We take so much for granted. Like, just being grateful for little things all the time, it becomes a habit. And your whole body, right, absorbs your thoughts. Like, you're going to start to feel like your thoughts. You'll start to speak like your thoughts. And so, you know, even like hot coffee in the morning, I'm like, oh, I love hot coffee in the morning. Or, oh, I love the way the sun's shining through the windows. And you just focus on little things. There's so much to be grateful for. Like we used to joke, I mean, this is terrible. But my mom, like if we complain, she's like, well, you could be living in North Korea. And the point is, you could be. There's no reason, right? Like why we're here living in the lap of luxury. And so we have so much to be grateful for.
But you also have to be careful because knowing the way that that Dave and people in, you know, that mindset can think, you got to be very careful not to weaponize that against yourself, right? You have to be very careful to not go like, I am such a brat. I'm such a jerk. I'm you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think,
it's very easy I find it very easy to have those thoughts of gratefulness and then almost start weaponizing them against
myself. Yeah, you can't do that. And because that's not the purpose of it. And then also, it's also just another form of thinking about yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's more of just like, and I'm not saying like I'm great at it. It's just, it's almost like when I notice that I'm kind of down or I'm kind of complainy or like whether, I mean, our emotions are all over the place and goodness knows hormones also make your emotions all over the place. And so it's kind of like reminding yourself of what you know versus what you feel. And it's okay to validate how you feel, but you can't park in every emotion. And it's also like recognizing which emotions do I need to deal with and which one is just, come on, Amy, drink a glass of water.
See, that's it right there, because there are, I think it is okay. And you have to find that balance for yourself. There are times where you're upset about something, and it's okay to evaluate, is this something I should be upset about, or is this stupid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this a dumb thing that I am mad about? Is it valid that I'm being mad to another person and potentially ruining their day over something that isn't that big of a deal? I think it's okay to do that. Yeah. And I don't think enough people do.
And I think, like for instance, there are things right now like that I am genuinely sad about. I'm genuinely grieving. That's hard. Then there's also times where I'm like, I feel sad and I don't know why I feel kind of sad. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those where like, maybe go for a walk and get a glass of water. Yeah. As simple as that. And sometimes that really does help. And it's just recognizing, right? Like that don't be a slave to your own emotions where they, you know, your emotions control. Because emotions are fickle. They really are. And some of them, like I said, you can acknowledge them. But it's kind of like with running, like I never feel like running and I never, like it's constantly telling yourself, that's what running is, just telling yourself to do things you don't feel like doing, right? And so, but sometimes if you're really sick or injured, then you do have to listen to your body. That's a hard line to walk when all you're doing as a runner is not listening to your body until you have to.
Yeah, I've been on a long run in 2024 of hard stuff. Like with my mom, but doing stuff I'm not good at, things that are not in my wheelhouse. I'm not responsible. I'm a performer. I'm a show pony. Bring me in, let me do my show, and then give me some oats. But as far as like being in charge of something or planning things and doing this work to my house and handling my mom's estate, I'm the executor. And my brother-in-law, Ed's helping me a lot with it, and he's doing a lot of stuff on the house in South Roxana. But I'm bad at it, and I don't like it. And when I'm bad at something, I don't like it, I really internally rebel. I don't complain. I haven't complained to anybody. Like Ed will reach out to me and say, like, hey, this is, here's an issue. What do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. This could not be less in my wheelhouse. So that's kind of tough when you're really busy with things that you're really not good at. You know what I mean? Mm. That's been my life for the last few months. Yeah. 125 DGS. I have my second meeting tomorrow, second of three, I think, to become a hospice volunteer with Bethesda. Hopefully that'll help me feel a little better, focusing on other people, doing things for other people. It's a cliche, but I think it's true. And Melissa sent me a long email with, I need this form, easy, got it, no problem. I'm can't wait to do this, going to crush it. And she goes, and then I'll need you to take a TB test.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how's next month? Like,
I always forget.
Is that the one where they poke your finger?
I don't know. They poke you somewhere, and then they you come back and they check you again. And
you're talking tuberculosis.
Yes.
Tom Brady.
Unless
it was a Tom Brady.
Wouldn't you know
the Tom Brady test?
Yeah, that's why I tried to sneak one by, like, pretty sure I don't have it. She's like, yeah, I know.
Because it's like a coughing thing.
Pretty sure you don't either.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. How do they test for that with blood?
No, I mean, unless they've changed it. I remember having them when I was younger, and they kind of poked your arm.
Right, and then they would see the reaction.
They see the reaction. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been tested for tuberculosis.
Oh, you haven't?
I don't think so.
Well, that's what happens when you're homeschooled. You don't get the proper test.
You know, no volunteering for you.
That's right.
We went to kindergarten, first grade. I did get the scoliosis test.
How'd they do that?
I don't know. It's like in gym class. Like
we had that too.
Yeah, and then they don't give you any information. They're just like, well, you've got scoliosis, and then like go on your day.
Keep on going.
You would have to face the person who tested you, and you'd have to bend forward, and they would look at the line in your back.
Yeah.
And they did it in front of everybody.
I know.
I remember
weird.
Distinctly getting my, what's it, vaccination, like the gun, the one that people your age don't have. Do you have
the
it?
Gun?
I don't think
yeah,
so. I've got one with a gun.
Like that.
So it leaves a scar about the size of a nickel on your arm.
Yeah, my dad has it.
Yeah, yep. I have it. And I remember it. It was like first grade, second grade, and we knew we were getting it. And there was this guy that looked like he just time traveled from 1940 with like severe black math teacher glasses and a black and white suit. And he was just sitting in a chair with a gun with a line full of kids. And Danny Fry was my friend, and I brought a Hot Wheel. And I made Danny talk to me about the Hot Wheel to distract me. And then I got up there and the guy gunned me.
Ooh.
And then you had like a plastic bubble taped to your arm for like a week. But anything that can leave a nickel-sized scar.
It's huge.
I mean.
Yeah. Because my grandpa has it, and he always told us he was shot in the war. And my grandma's like, no, you got a shot. You weren't
was
shot in the war.
Polio? Is it something like that?
It was a bunch of things, because it was a bunch of needles.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I
gotcha,
it was like
gotcha.
Four needles, like a square.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Kev, you probably were
borderline.
Borderline.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird is this is, again, everyone's childhood memories are different, but my mom said, she goes, I don't have that. And from what I remember, I don't know if girls got the shot in their leg or something, so they didn't have the big scar on their arm. Because my grandma doesn't have the scar, and my mom doesn't have the scar. But all the boys that age have it.
That's really interesting.
I know. Right. I don't, like, they're kids, and they're like, we didn't pay attention, so it's not like I know what's behind it.
Yes. 134 in DGS. Isn't sense of humor a fascinating thing? Chris, Ronji just found out that Rach and I love the show. I think you should leave on Netflix. It's very weird. It's very out there. Most people would hate it or not even understand what they're even trying to convey in these skits. And Nick and I watch it and we just cry.
It's so funny. And you're right. There are different forms of humor. I know Andrew loves it because we talk about it all the time and we force Amy to watch sketches. For whatever reason, I just didn't think it would be your type of humor.
Really?
Or Rachel's. I don't know why. I don't have a reason for that. I don't know.
Yeah, try to explain
this
one.
All the cool people in my friends like it, so obviously I didn't think you would.
Because it's so weird.
I think you guys were cool like that.
I don't think weird humor is your thing.
Totally.
It's so smart and hip and cutting edge.
Like, yeah. Ronj needs a bigger shovel, doesn't he?
That's not at all. No,
I need a bigger boat.
It's it seems very, it's popular, right? But I don't think a lot of people, I don't think it's, would you call it mainstream now?
Because I think the memes have made it mainstream.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think it's popular for people to say they like it.
Yeah.
But for people to really like it, I think is more rare. Yeah.
I think it's a strange type of humor that I didn't think was your type of humor.
Totally.
It's a little culty, right?
Yes.
Like that's
right. That's how I feel about
it. Yeah. Love it. But I bet you could walk out on the street and ask 50 people if they've watched it, and probably not, right?
I would think so.
A handful would maybe?
I would think definitely less than half.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Great show, though. I love it.
Are you a Tim and Eric fan, Ronj?
Yeah, and I haven't seen seen or heard a lot of them, but yes, I like is Heidecker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's really funny.
I just didn't think that would be your sin. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not saying it's smart humor. I think it's really dumb humor.
It's pretty dumb. Yeah, it's pretty silly.
I just didn't think dumb humor was what you liked. I like stupid stuff.
I'm more of a chortler. Well, well, chortle, chortle. I see what you did there.
Oh, very clever.
No, I like pretty stupid stuff. You know, I was thinking, if somehow the Buddhists are right and we get to come back over and over again, next time I want to come back super good looking.
Okay.
Yeah, let me put that request in with.
I think that's one we can all get
on board
with.
When you're standing in front of the panel that's going to send you back, I'm just like, good looking. I don't care.
Yeah.
Everything else, dealer's choice. I just want to be gorgeous.
That was beautiful.
Now, Nick and I were at dinner the other night, and a couple walked in. I'm like, look at these effers. Like, they're just perfect.
Yeah.
And I know they got problems. But not these kind of problems.
Yeah. Being beautiful fixes a lot.
Yeah, they got that. They got that.
Nobody asks me out because they're intimidated by asking me out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or when somebody's really, really attractive and can't understand why so and so was so nice to them.
Yeah.
I wonder, why are you so nice? Man, he's such a nice guy. Why is he so nice to me?
Think about it. Mm-hmm. Most really attractive people know it. But you still look at your own beautiful face every day since you were born, so you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably, there's got to be a gap between the way people relate to you and how you understand it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would still not quite get how people perceive you.
I think there's that, but I also think there's the others that know it, and it's all they know.
Yeah.
Literally all they know is like, yep, I'm gorgeous.
It's all I'm going to know.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave's goal.
And next
Dave's,
time around,
Dave's life,
I'm just going to swim it.
Where you want to be, though? Does it matter? Like, does it even matter to you where you're born, if reborn, if you are the most gorgeous?
Yeah, you're beautiful, but you're in North Korea.
What is it with you in North Korea?
She won't stop talking about it.
I bet they can't watch Netflix in North Korea.
They can't watch Netflix in North Korea.
The most beautiful North Korean ever.
Nobody knows. They don't have Google.
If you haven't noticed, Amy sometimes has a tendency to fixate. Today it's North Korea. Tomorrow, who knows what it'll be.
Listen, I'm just
saying.
Which
race will she pick tomorrow?
I'm just saying.
Now, would you rather be a gorgeous woman or a gorgeous man? Who do you think has the better advantage?
Oh, gorgeous women do.
Women.
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not so sure.
I think it's more rare to see a truly striking man.
To get the benefits as a guy on the level of like your average hot girl, you have to be like the hottest guy.
It's true.
Right? You got to be like your Glenn Powell's, your Chris Evans's.
I don't
Those
think,
are
no,
the guys,
guys
that,
you can be ugly as long as you're a billionaire. Millionaire. It's just money.
Well, money doesn't count.
Look at
yeah,
all
we're
the
not counting
beautiful
money.
Women who are with doofuses.
Trolls?
Yeah. Like Al Pacino.
He's a doofus?
Well, no, but he's 100 years old.
That's true.
And his girlfriend's like 21. That's weird. It's gross.
But he's like famous.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
And I think with a lot of situations like that, I think she's like, she just looks at pictures of him when he was like 21 and is like, okay, no, this is fine.
Oh,
right?
She's a big
weird
Godfather fan.
Yeah. Like, I think she doesn't look at 100-year-old Al Pacino and see 100-year-old Al Pacino.
Do you think any of them are in love?
No.
28-year-olds with 89-year-olds?
No.
Hmm.
No.
I mean.
No. Daddy issues, maybe.
Well, that's, I don't know about all that.
See, this is
more
only
money
men.
Issues
only
than daddy
men
issues.
Would think, I think she could find an 80-year-old attractive. No, she can't. I can tell you that right now. If guys think, like, if you're a 21-year-old girl is going to find an 80-year-old man attractive, you're flattering men too much.
Do you think Bill Belichick's girlfriend's not really in love with him?
I know. I think she's in love with him because he's, you know, he's a beautiful man. Yeah. No.
Did you
only
see the,
men
it's
could
the
think,
hoodie.
Only
That's
men could think a 20-year-old would be attracted to an 80-year-old grandpa.
It came out.
He's taking no prisoners at all.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of agree with her. I think she's
That's
right.
Like an 80-year-old woman going, I think this 22-year-old boy out of college really thinks I'm hot stuff. No woman would say that because you're like, that's so weird.
I think women are more realistic.
100%. And also, guys really...
Okay, Bill Belichick doesn't think his girlfriend's in love with him. He thinks his girlfriend is a hot 22-year-old.
Did you see the video?
It's probably true. No, I think there are plenty that are realistic about it, and they just don't care.
I think men are pretty easy to fool themselves.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. But then there's the others that just don't care.
Like I would,
they get what they want, so they're happy.
If I had a 22-year-old daughter who was in love with a 70-year-old, I would hope she's marrying him for the money. Because if she's actually in love with him, that's weird. It's creepy. It's your grandpa.
I love the video of Bill Belichick from like June. I think it happened in June, of him sneaking out of his girlfriend's house with his shirt off.
Ew. What?
Yeah, he's like, he's leaving the house. It's the Ring camera.
Her other boyfriend came home. Gross. He's like, oh, gotta go.
Oh, God.
Let me see. There's no amount of money.
Oh, dude. Oh. It's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
What a strange decision.
Texas bad boy Bill.
He's just like, well, here we go.
Go next door and borrow a cup of shirt.
She is hoping they get married and he dies right away.
Yikes!
You want a heart condition and a bank
account.
Damn,
dude.
The only... I think when it comes to like, okay, like Mick Jagger, I think Andrew is kind of touching on something that could be kind of true here. If you're like a huge Rolling Stones fan and you're 25 and you meet Mick Jagger and he still like looks pretty good for his age and he has all that charisma and he's Mick Jagger, I could see that happening. Bill Belichick, less so.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, maybe not.
No,
unless you're like, I don't know, a big fan of the Patriots.
Think
for
when you were 22,
20 years.
I thought 34 was old when I was 22. I remember seeing Judy won the marathon when she was 34. And I thought, look at Judy go. Good for her. She's on the brink of death and she's still running.
I've known women who dated older guys that weren't rich, though. That were just like...
But like 60 years older.
No, like
yeah. I mean, I think there's a number there. I don't know what it is that where it's not as weird. I don't know what that number is, but when it's 60 years, it's weird.
Yeah, I think there is
weird.
There's something amusing about the fact that Bill Belichick's girlfriend, he was 49 when she was born.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my
not
gosh.
Okay.
Ew,
that's upsetting.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's one of the numbers. That makes it weird.
The wrinkle ratio has got to be out
what
of
about
control.
If a woman's 40? So she's no spring chicken,
right.
But the guy's like 90.
It's still weird.
It's so weird. I'm 41. That's like me going, well, Amy, now that your best years are behind you, see this 90-year-old guy who's 9 years older than Joe Biden? Hey. You into that?
No.
Imagine me being like, Joe Biden's so hot. Ew! Like, that's so gross.
But what if
any of us would be,
we have a lot of older people listening to Cable right now.
Like, you know what?
They're disgusting!
Love is love. Who are you to say? Who are you?
Well.
What if they're North Korean?
She hates old people. She hates old North Koreans.
I did ask Ron.
Let's let her talk for a while, see what else she hates.
If he would date someone, if she were really hot and she roller skated everywhere.
And I said,
the weirdest conversation.
Yeah.
That's just the question she had in her mind. And I said, well, I'd have to meet her first.
He asked where she was roller skating to.
Welcome to DGS. Now you can be into things that are kind of marginal, like I'm into Bigfoot. And then they make it real hard for you. And I was relaxing over the weekend, and there was a new Sasquatch Chronicles podcast.
Oh.
Yay, here we go. All right. And the guy's talking about seeing a Sasquatch, and he goes, and this happens a lot, where people will be like, now, here's where it gets kind of weird. And they'll talk about seeing orbs or something. And I'm ready for that. You know, how bad can it be? But I'm spending my time on this. And he goes, so here's where it gets kind of weird. The Sasquatch I saw was wearing a woman's nightgown.
Well, okay.
Okay.
That's
right.
Like, he was so close.
Right?
It was so close.
I mean,
what?
Like a negligee?
Yes. That's how I pictured it. Yeah.
I think I went out with her.
He just got Amy'd.
What?
When she says the thing and we all just sit there, you just got that.
Yeah, it's fine.
How many times did you go out with her?
Just once.
Maybe you saw the same person.
It's probably her. I know who he's talking about.
It was near Granite, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
that could
right.
be it.
That's exactly it.
What is your most marginal thing that you're into?
Like, that other people think is weird.
A little embarrassing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Everything. Probably music. Most people
don't
think
understand
my,
you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't care, but they don't. Yeah.
Music?
Yeah, people think my music's weird.
Yeah,
and fringe.
But metal's not fringe and marginal. Right. It's like a huge
I'm telling you what
following.
Everybody reacts.
It's not a
when
Bigfoot
you,
in a nightie.
When you, no, it's not. You know, but that's it. That's all I got.
I don't even think Bigfoot's that fringe.
I don't either.
I don't think it's that
I think
weird.
It's pretty, I mean, how many TV shows? It's got a million TV shows. It's not that fringe.
Yeah.
I think there is Bigfoot erotica. I don't mean to. I'm just saying. there's
everything erotica.
Oh, is that
is Amy? Two. Amy, do they make that in North Korea?
Well, we wouldn't know, would we?
What's that Bigfoot movie coming out? It's like a.
Don't know.
No, you're right. It's
oh, yeah,
the one where
Jesse
they all yeah, where they're all dressed. No, there's no words. They all dress up.
It's not a documentary.
I tried watching that.
Is it a documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's out already.
They set up a documentary
just
with
to make
a
sure
family
you knew.
Of Bigfoot.
Thanks, Kev.
Is it Bigfoots or Big Feet?
That's actually a great question.
I think it's just Bigfoot.
Bigfoot okay. is like yeah,
yeah.
So
like
moose.
Like
so like it's a herd of it's deer.
Like
it would be a family of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I watched about half that movie and it was just awful. Like maybe the second half is hell on wheels, but just a whole lot of Bigfoot pooping and doing physical stuff. You're like, okay, all right. Supposed to be so profound. Like, I'm not getting it.
What's it called? I can't remember this.
I don't remember. Got me on that one.
I'm going to look it up.